Hello and welcome back. This is episode 3. I titled it Ultra Capacitors, Quantum Supremacy, Synthetic Life, and Much More. I'm your host, Matt Gabry, again here. Let's get right into today's topics. Let's start with that Ultra Capacitors. So this comes out from Seeker, that YouTube channel told you guys about. I'm going to be referencing this one a lot. They come out with, I think, about 2 videos a week, so they're pretty consistent. I really like what they put out. So, yeah, again, it's called Seeker is the YouTube channel. So they, in fact, I'm going to have them twice today. First, let's start with this ultra capacitor. So basically, it's a new battery technology that kind of just got in the works here. So they, you know, lithium ion batteries are what's commonplace nowadays. All of our electronics, like computers, laptop, you know, phones, you know, even electric cars are mostly lithium ion batteries. That's the most common. But there's a lot of problems with that. Obviously, it takes a long time to charge, you know, and it's not very good for the environment, we know. So, you know, yeah, I mean, there's people out there that are, you know, working on the next stage, the next development of new battery technology, and they're onto something. I think a lot of this came out of MIT. I see their source is from MIT. So this video is pretty good. You guys got to look it up. So Seeker, and it's titled "Could Ultra Capacitors Realize Their Full Potential?" And then ... with laxatives. So yeah. Laxatives, there's a material and then soaps, more specific detergents. It's called surface active ionic liquids. SAILS is the acronym. And I guess, yes, it's laxatives and a lot of soaps. And, basically it's this liquid form that, could be a better solution for energy storage rather than, you know, lithium ion. So, you know, the video is 4 minutes, 46 seconds long. And it's, I don't know if I want to play a little bit of it because it is hard to grasp, but, one step closer to, you know, no more pesky chemical batteries. So it's pretty revolutionary. I have not heard of this yet. You know, that's the point of this podcast, to point out something that I haven't heard of. And this just came out, this research. So go check out the video. You know, it's not that long. This technology, the surface active ionic liquids, is the main crux of the video. This new form of liquid storage is really neat. So yeah, guys, check that out. In fact, let's get right into their next video that just dropped today. And I've got 2 videos that I'll reference. But so Seeker again came out with Google. So they just released a paper to NASA because they're working together, but they like immediately deleted it. But Seeker's video is called "Did Google Just Achieve Quantum Supremacy?" So this just happened. You know, the paper released in like September, so last month they took it down, but like everybody copied it, I guess, and read it. So it's all around. So I'm going to reference 2 videos that have really good information on this. So basically, I'll talk about it for a little bit. So the crux of it is that this supercomputer or a quantum computer achieved a task in like 3 minutes and 20 seconds compared to if the world's leading supercomputer, the most powerful supercomputer, it would have taken that 10,000 years to accomplish the same task. So this is huge. The other video, I don't know if I've mentioned his channel yet, but Suraj Raval. So he's a super smart guy, and he updates his channel about 2 videos a week too, I think. Look him up too and subscribe to his channel. So it's Suraj Raval, S-I-R-A-J, and then Raval is R-A-V-A-L. He's got really good content, mostly around AI, but it's basically any revolutionary things going on in tech, computers in general, he's on top of. He has a lot of good like tutorial things too. His videos are more in depth. He also has this quantum supremacy video that just dropped. It's about 12 minutes long now, compared to Seeker's video on it is like, again, around 4 minutes. So, that's kind of the main gist of this. And Siraj talks about, you know, it's not quite the task that it did accomplish is not very groundbreaking. It's not very useful, but it still shows the power of a quantum computer. It's incredibly like a difference. 3 minutes and 20 seconds compared to 10,000 years. I mean, yeah, that's huge. So Siraj talks about, I know that the three main sectors that this is going to be really important is Medicare, healthcare, and so different types of medicines, and then finance, like Goldman Sachs. I know he says that they've invested heavily in Google's DeepMind, their quantum computer, for all sorts of finance reasons. So yeah, it's really exciting. In fact, security. Yeah, finance. So security, quantum encryption technologies is going to be really important with this new, quantum supremacy. This is huge news. So just check that out. Siraj Raval's channel is good. Okay, moving on. Again, going back to Seeker, their channel, they also released on October 9th, so yeah, a couple days ago, How Close Are We to Harnessing Synthetic Life? Okay, this is all referencing the Human Genome Project, I think so in 2010 or 2015. Craig Venter, you guys have probably heard about that, but their new project, their latest is the Human Genome Project Right. And so now they think they are really ready to sequence the human genome. And the Human Genome Project, so mostly what they've been testing has not really been human cells yet. But I think, so again, this video, it's like 10 minutes long. Supposedly they're ready to start doing actual human cell writing synthetically. So this is really exciting. This is huge news. So check that out. It's from that Seeker channel. So subscribe to that one for sure. I'm going to be referencing it a lot. So really exciting. Okay, moving on to something different. This was a podcast episode from the North Star podcast. David Perel. I like his work too. Subscribe to that podcast. That's a good one. It's a lot like Village Global Venture Stories. So yeah, I'm going to be referencing that one probably quite a bit too. So he had a guest on this week. His name was Cameron Porter, and he is out of New York. And he works at, I think he's an associate at an investment firm called Alicorp. And, you may not think, a VC firm is all that exciting, but I think this one's really interesting because do a different, things are slightly different. So this Alicorp, go check it out, alicorp.com. They are almost... it's like they do both sides of it. I like how that you'll have to listen to the episode. I'm not going to do it justice, but I can describe it briefly. So typically what you find are founders that come up with, he says like coming up with ideas all the time. The founders' mentality are coming up with ideas all the time, and they, whichever one they think is best, they're going to run with that one. So that's kind of the role of the founder. VCs, on the other hand, the other side of the coin is they're sourcing deals all day long. They're really good at looking for the best ideas. So, and when the two meet, that's when you probably have, you know, something going there. You have a deal. Or Alicorp, they are like trying to do both things simultaneously. It looks like they really facilitate the founder in helping them build the company, as opposed to just kind of writing the check and advising, being on the board. You know, a lot of times I think these companies fail because they just don't have enough help. First-time founders, you know, they don't really know what they're doing. But this Alicorp seems cool because it seems to me like you could just come and pitch them and they're going to help you build this company. Maybe I'm wrong. You guys might know more about it than me, but it to me, it seemed really interesting because, you know, for me, I'm always kind of, you know, thinking about ideas too. Like I like being a founder, trying to be, and I want the most help as possible. I don't want just a check, you know, I need advice and really help building the company. So it says on their page, Alicorp/companies, it says Alicorp continuously founds and builds companies. So that's interesting. So like a VC firm doesn't, you know, they're not going to do that. They don't actually work on the company. They just advise it, you know. So this is different. And it says further on the incubation side, we originate the idea, hire the team, fund the initial 6 to 12 months, launch the company, and maintain integral leadership throughout the company's life cycle. So that's a lot of help. I think that's what these young companies, young founders need. So really interesting. So look them up, Cameron Porter on Twitter. Follow him. I think it was a really good episode. Definitely is a long one though. So the main gist of it, you just have to kind of listen through it. It's a good episode though. He tells a great story. So, okay. What else did I want to get to today? I get a daily Crunchbase email. If you guys know Crunchbase, you know, it's kind of like TechCrunch. It's a nice daily email of kind of like what are the big investments and startups happening. So that's one of my big sources of news, like what's going on. And a couple days ago, one of the headlines is AI startup Spark Cognition raises $100 million. So this is based out of Austin, and I wanted to highlight this because, well, so you know, anytime someone raises $100 million, yeah, that's a big deal. That catches a lot of attention. And I've heard of them before. So they're based out of Austin, Texas. So, yeah, I mean, I want to highlight that too because, you know, Austin is one of the leading cities, I think, for startups, but you don't quite hear enough out of it. You know, obviously Silicon Valley, San Francisco gets all the attention. But, yeah, this Spark Cognition, I think, is one of the leading AI tech startups. And it's out of Austin. So keep your eyes out on this one. And it says it's only a 5-year-old company. They're at $175 million total of fundraising. So I think they're really on to something big here. So check them out. If you think you want to work for them or do any kind of business, I think this is one to keep your eyes out for, Spark Cognition. Okay. I think I got to everything I wanted to today. Kind of threw a lot at you. I'm going to try to get these in the show notes. I don't quite know how to do that yet, but I will get that to you because I know it's a lot to remember, and I want you guys to have show notes. So I just wanted to finish off by talking about, so kind of going back to this Crunchbase, and the Spark Cognition, you know, so my one thing is, I've been very influenced by Peter Thiel and his book 0 to 1. And one of the main takeaways from that book and his mentality in general is, you know, you want to escape competition. You want to create a monopoly, you know. And I think about this all the time. So, you know, it's like, is competition really healthy in business? I know that might be a contrarian view, because most people tend to think it is. But man, Crunchbase, this daily news source that I get, you know, I hear, you know, I just see all the time of all these companies and VCs raising all this money, you know, and it's just like, boy, I just don't know if it's the right thing to do. Sometimes I think, you know, if Spark Cognition is so great, I feel like, wouldn't it benefit them to like work with Silicon Valley, you know, AI startups out there? Like, isn't it like, you know, $100 million is so much money and it would make, you know, all the difference in my world. But like, if we want it to succeed, you know, don't we want, again, yeah, exactly that. We want it to succeed. So we need to, like foolproof it, you know? And I think what better way to do that is to collaborate with many more people in the world leading AI startups, which are, I mean, I would think all the talent, the best talent is in Silicon Valley. So, you know, why don't we work together more often is just my main point, you know? You know, all these technologies are so new. We know very little about it. And I just think the more open source, the more collaboration there is instead of competition, the more things are going to work out, you know? Instead of burning through all this cash and some startups are going to fail, you know, this is kind of a win-lose type scenario. And I don't think it should be a winner-loser type, you know, thing here. I think we should all work together until like we all win. Anyways, I just wanted to kind of talk about that and just kind of, yeah, spitball that, see what you guys think. Maybe I'm always thinking about, is there a better form of work, you know, that we could be doing? Like sports, yes, competition makes sense in sports, but does it make sense for business? You know, would more open collaboration be better? And I tend to think maybe we're ready for that kind of world. You know, what if we had a world of no NDAs? You know, everyone just collaborate and work together. Maybe things would work better, and then people wouldn't be left out. There's a lot of people that are left out of the whole, you know, discussion in general because they just don't fit in. They don't have the skills enough to kind of compete. And yeah, maybe we should kind of lower the barriers of entry, and the more collaboration, I think, the better. Well, anyways, guys, I'm going to leave it there. I know I'm kind of going off on a tangent, but I've given you guys quite a bit to chew on there. And yeah, I'll be back, I think, in a few days for episode 4. So take care, guys, and keep at it, stay hungry, and go after what you want. All right, we'll see you.